everyone. Welcome to Five More Minutes, the show where two friends relive their childhoods or, in some cases, learn about everything they missed out on. I'm Kendra.
And I'm Scott. And we're coming in hot with some lame jokes, as one does.
They're not lame.
Well, you haven't heard them yet. How do you know?
I just know.
Okay. Well, what's a vampire's favorite ship?
A vampire's favorite ship. I don't know.
A blood vessel.
I figured it had something to do with blood, but I couldn't put that together with another word.
There's only one thing I can't deal with, and that's a deck of cards glued together.
Wow.
Yeah. The past, the present, and the future walked into a bar. It was tense. You're the English master. You should like that one.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a, oh man, so many.
Yeah.
Good ones. I know a bunch of good jokes about umbrellas, but they usually go over people's heads. Not amused, huh?
No, but they weren't lame.
Oh, okay. Well, seems like they were by your reaction. Okay.
Nah. How dare you think that?
So what did you think of the boy movie we watched the other night?
It was pretty good. I was convinced that they had, like, encased his, like, burnt body inside porcelain and that it was haunted. Like, that's really what I thought it was going to be. I was surprised about the whole living in the wall thing.
Yeah, if you haven't seen The Boy, it has, what was it, Lauren Cohen from The Walking Dead, but it's a little older. And yeah, it's about a creepy doll, but it turns out it's actually way creepier than a creepy doll because there's a guy just living in the walls of the house the whole time. Spoiler alert.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a pretty cool dude.
It's just weird that, like, what was the point of the parents pretending the doll was him if he was, like, living there?
That part, I don't know. It's like, well, I think they never fully explained it, but the reason I think they were hiding him is because he did kill that girl.
Yeah.
And they wanted to keep him a secret, but I think he would just, like, probably terrorize them until they brought, like, a new girl in for him.
Yeah, but that still doesn't explain why they were pretending to have a doll if he was, like, actually living in the house.
That's how they lured him in. It was like a bit.
Oh.
Yeah. If they knew there was a creepy dude in the house, they probably wouldn't be like, oh, yeah, you definitely need
it. It was kind of... I don't remember. Was it like a thing that they had always had nannies and this time they were just deciding to leave forever? Or was this the first time they
were? Yeah. Because they had made it sound like that there had been many previous nannies that were rejected or just left. So, yeah. Apparently he was having a good old time with them.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, there's a guy there.
Whoa, there's a guy there. That's what a lot of people say.
Yeah. What did you think of it?
I thought it was good. It did not turn out like I was expecting. I thought it was going to be some kind of supernatural, like, ghost or demon thing haunting the doll, like you said.
Yeah, that's because what all the other movies are.
Yeah, but they went against the mold. Wasn't what I expected, and it was entertaining, so I thought it was fun.
It's always good when you can't predict it.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't want to be able to call every shot of the movie. That's no fun.
Yeah. Remember when we watched that one movie and I called everything that was going to happen?
The one that I hate. Yeah, I was so angry. It's like, I Care a Lot.
Yeah. I block out the name because it pisses me off.
He was not a fan. Not a fan.
Well, I was just like, if this happens after this, it's going to be so dumb. And then all of that kept happening. It was making me rage. Like, I don't think I've ever been angrier while watching a movie before.
It was, like, kind of irrational anger, too. You got so mad.
Yeah.
It's, like, the maddest I've seen you in a movie.
Well, because, like, I don't know. It was, like, I felt confident because I predicted it. But then I was angry that I predicted it because it was, like, it did everything that a movie shouldn't do or something. You know what I mean? Like, every predictable thing that should be in a movie, it had, and there was nothing unpredictable about it.
Yeah, so it was just kind of boring.
Well, it was just angering.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. That movie is just, it's angry. Have you seen Moonstruck?
I don't even know what that is.
That's the movie your mom made me watch.
Oh, the one with Nick Cage in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Have not seen any of those old, like, 80s Nick Cage movies, except for I did watch Raising Arizona.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's about, like, redneck couple that he is one of them, and they, like, end up kidnapping a baby.
I feel like his voice isn't quite right for his role in Moonstruck, because he's basically playing like a New York Italian, and his brother is another character who really has like the good like Italian voice or accent or whatever.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's real, I don't know. But I feel like he's too like nasally and dull. So he still sounded too much like Nick Cage for like the way the rest of the people were talking. That's like my one critique, because I didn't feel like he was doing like a good enough Italian New York accent.
Which is funny, because isn't he actually part Italian?
I don't know, but I just couldn't get nasally Nick Cage out of my head. Oh, but I think so, right? Because Coppola.
Yeah.
Coppola.
Down from our... what was that, like, Willy's Wonderland deep Nick Cage dive?
You can we did that episode. Yeah, you should, because we did a real big deep dive.
it became more about Nick Cage than the actual movie, so.
Yeah, I mean, they are Italian. I don't know, maybe, it just didn't sound good. Like, because you know how he's kind of, like, nasally?
Kind
of,
I guess.
Or I don't know how else to describe it. It's like he's talking with his tongue on the roof of his mouth. He was born in California though. So like, you know, like even though he's Italian, yeah. I like, because, you know, New Yorkers, they have like an accent. So
New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nick Cage is just a weird guy, you know?
Wow. Calling out Nick Cage. You're just calling out movies, calling out Nick Cage. You're just being a instigator today.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Just get ready for the smoke, you know?
For the smoke?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
It means you're going to rile up the crowd and they're going to get you.
Oh. Yeah. Well, this is like a virtual thing, so I don't know how the crowd would get me. And I don't know if you can consider like 30 people a crowd either, but...
Dude, 30 people is definitely a crowd.
Well...
That's enough for, I consider a crowd anything more than you'd probably want in your house. I feel like 30 is a good crowd.
Six.
Not for like a concert, but you get it.
Yeah. Unless it's like a children's concert.
Okay.
Then you may not want more than 30 people there. Because you don't want to overwhelm the children?
Sure. See, the wheels are spinning there. You're trying to find something, but...
I might have an altered state of mind.
Ah, I see.
Anyways, do you have any other pre-subject thoughts?
Pre-subject thoughts? No, I got my laptop today, so I'm gonna set that up after this.
Oh snap. What kind of laptop is it?
MSI.
How does it make you feel?
I don't know yet. I haven't set it up.
What are you gonna
do? It looks pretty cool.
What are you gonna do on it?
Play games.
What kind of games?
All kinds. But fighting like, games.
But like, why did you decide to get a gaming computer? You know?
So I could play games on it?
I know. But is there no like? I just mean, did you get it for like a specific game? You know,
no, you don't buy a system for one.
Well, you might. What if someone's really into WoW and they're like, "I need a super awesome gaming computer so I can only play WoW." You know?
Then I guess that's great. Do they never play anything else ever?
Not on their computer.
Okay.
I feel like that's what I would do if I had a gaming computer, because
that would be a pretty expensive console for one game.
Well, so. I already have like a game ADD, so.
True.
Yeah, like, have you heard of the Quarry? I want to get it specifically because two of the people from NADPOD voice act podcasters in it.
It's a game?
Yeah, it came out like a couple months ago or within the last month. It's like a horror game where you make decisions for these characters at a camp.
Oh, it's kind of like the next whatever the hell that was called. Yeah, I know. I know these types of games.
I kind of want to get it. Apparently at the end, they like voice a podcast, but also you can hear them depending on the choices you make in like the middle of the game too. It's the only reason I've heard of it is that they talked about it once on the podcast.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So they had real podcasters voice act in game podcasters.
Played by David Arquette.
I think David Arquette is the person who used to be married to Courtney Cox, because in some seasons of Friends, her name is Courtney Cox Arquette.
You got Brenda Song. I know that name. It looks interesting. These games are always. Is it supposed to be scary? Is it one of those?
Yeah, it's like spooky. It's like a horror game. So.
Okay, that could be interesting.
Yeah, I kind of want to get it.
It was like the Man of Medan, and there's some other games like that too.
Don't know.
If you like this one, I guess if you ever get it, then you can check it out.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Speaking of Courtney Cox, I really want to watch Scream.
Yeah, have you not seen Scream?
Nope.
We just watched that not that long ago.
And you did?
Yeah.
When?
I don't remember, but it must have been, I can't remember if we did it on a movie night or if it was one time Jackie was randomly in town and we just watched it at the house.
I also really want to get some of these edible cups for my coffee. It's like $33 for five. Six. Six.
$33 for six of them?
But it's food. It's multi-purposeful. They're made out of oats.
Is it actually?
I don't know. Write in. Have you had edible cups for your coffee?
Does it taste like cardboard like it looks like?
I saw it on Reddit. Let me know. Write in.
Write in, please.
Anyways, I guess, you know, it's been like 11 minutes, so we could get to like the meat of the ep.
The meat. You've had the vegetables. Now we're moving on to the meat.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yes. And then you get the potatoes. And that's your dinner.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we watched the first three episodes of the animated Dungeons & Dragons series. Sometimes we get viewers on YouTube, and sometimes I'm the only viewer on YouTube. So if you do happen to be viewing this on YouTube, that's us back here. It's very, very much the style of like Scooby-Doo and stuff.
Yeah, like He-Man.
Yeah. So we watched just the first three episodes. I'm kind of inclined to try to watch all of it because there's only 27, 22 minute episodes. It's not going to take that long.
That's still a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like, you can watch three an hour. That's like 9 hours. That's less time than it took me to watch Stranger Things season four.
That's true.
Yeah.
But that's almost more of an experience at this point.
So is this, you know?
Yeah, well, so, true.
So this was a co-production of Marvel Productions and TSR. Marvel Productions being what it sounds like, and eventually splitting into a bunch of different groups. Like, it split like three times. It became Marvel Entertainment Group, and then it became a subsidiary of New World Entertainment, and then it became News Corporation. The News Corporation broke into two groups, where one of them remained named News Corporation and the other one became 21st Century Fox, I guess.
What kind of name is News Corporation?
I don't know, man. It sounds like a fake news network in like Superman.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. I was like, that sounds like not the Daily Bugle, yeah, Spider-Man, but something worse.
Yeah. But anyways, so the product of Marvel and TSR. So that's pretty cool just to like start it out. It ran from 1983 through 1985 for three seasons on CBS for a total of 27 episodes. I don't know if I already said that or not, but So 27 episodes. We'll talk about the episode breakdown later. Fun fact, do you want to take a guess at what company did the animation?
Is it a well-known company?
Yep.
I don't know.
Toei Animation.
Oh, nice. Some old school Toei.
Yeah. So, you know, all those cool old animes you like?
Yeah.
Same people.
I don't know. What is the oldest anime I've watched? I'll have to look into that.
I mean, most of them started in the 80s.
Yeah, but I don't think Dragon Ball Z is really the one that I watched, and that was probably in the 90s.
But did you watch regular Dragon Ball? Because I'm pretty sure that was in the 80s.
Oh. I didn't. I've only read it.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
So big names, you know, Marvel and
Toei.
Yeah, jumping in on this like 10-year-old weird tabletop role playing thing, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the show focused on a group of six friends who are transported into a different realm. More on that later. I don't want to get too far into that. But one thing is that it was canceled before a final episode could air. And this left, we'll talk about this more later too, but this left a lot of fans upset because the kids never returned back to their realm. Because the show just ends before they have the chance to. And so I don't know if it's just before it was made, if they were planning on doing more episodes. Like, I don't really know how it works, but Michael Reeves was actually writing the script for the final episode. And he ended up releasing it. So Michael Reeves, you know, The Batman. Directed that. But it was called Requiem, and he actually posted the PDF online on this like blog in December of 2005. It's like a web archived page now. I don't know if this website still exists, but you can very clearly tell it's like middle 2000s.
Right.
And I think he wrote several episodes. I didn't like click into each episode to see who the writers were, but based on what he wrote in this, he wrote several of them. And they knew that they were going to do an episode that closed out the season, which I guess we're all used to now, like an episode that closes out a season, but wasn't really like a standard thing in the 80s where you like closed out, like, you know, show that a season was ending or whatever.
You just kind of leave it.
Yeah. And I feel like that's more notable in like fantasy or sci-fi shows, like all the superhero ones. I feel like you kind of have it rounded out. And so apparently this final episode was supposed to be used as a springboard for a new approach to the show. So it was kind of like literally ending like the way that it had been for those first three seasons. But there was like some issues we'll talk about. It'll all make sense. So they never like produced it. And so he decided to post it because there was like so much like talk, even like 20 years later, of people still being like upset that it never ended and that.
All those angsty 10-year-olds are now 30.
Yeah, basically. So he posted it on his blog. I didn't read through it or anything because I kind of want to watch the show maybe and then like read through it, see how it's supposed to end. But he uploaded his first draft, saying that he hopes it lives up to reasonable expectations. If it does, I'm glad. If not, my apologies. But do try to keep in mind a mantra that has served me well over the years. It's only television.
If you like it, great. If you don't like it, don't care.
Yeah. And then the other thing was that is in 2020, so quite possibly thanks to COVID, a fan took the script and used clips from the show and made like a final episode you can watch on YouTube.
Wow, that's dedication.
Yeah. So, you know, that was probably some like person who's like 50 being like, this thing from my childhood is incomplete and I need to do it. And prior to that, there was like a recorded audio performance of it that was available on the DVD edition. But yeah, so that was just kind of, I thought that was interesting. I would have gone further down that road if it made sense to, but it doesn't.
So. Oh yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, that fan made video is on YouTube, so that's exciting.
Check it out.
And also, all of these are on YouTube, so that's also exciting. So season one, I did this just because I thought it was interesting. Saturday morning cartoons, first of all, like, big deal, you know, back in the day. Maybe not anymore, because there's so many channels. You can watch cartoons whenever you want. And who even has TV anymore? Everyone just has streaming services. So you can literally watch things whenever you want.
True.
So season one had weekly Saturday episodes from September, the middle of September through December. Season two had weekly episodes, but there was only 8. And they were from September through October. And then season three had 6 episodes, and it started out weekly through September. So like the 3 Saturdays in September that they had, there was an episode, but then it was like once in October, once in November, and then once in December. And then it just ended abruptly.
Oh, so they kind of lost steam along the way.
Well, so I looked into why it was canceled when it seemed like it had such good reviews and that people actually liked it. Mm-hmm. And so I found a Screen Rant article. It's called Why Dungeons and Dragons First Cartoon Failed. And it's by Austin King.
Oh.
And so apparently there were a couple of contributing factors that led to it being canceled. So the first was that TSR had like so many projects going on, because that was kind of in like the height of, you know, you're like 10 years in then. So like it's becoming like a bigger company and there's like more things going on.
Yeah.
So there was so much stuff that their company that was pretty small was doing that they were spending too much time working on the show. And so they were like losing money because they weren't producing stuff. Like they weren't making enough money from it, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Bigger fish to fry.
Yeah. And then the other one, and like, I don't know which one of these would play into how it kind of slowed down first. But if we remember what happened in the 80s with the Satanic Panic, there was a lot of concern over the level of violence in this TV show since it was geared towards children.
So violent.
Yeah. And so a number of censors and parental groups were worried. And they wanted warnings to be displayed before every episode to show that D&D had been linked to violent crimes and witchcraft.
Witchcraft.
And it said, in parentheses, accusations that have since been proven false.
Right.
And then with the, you know, the student who disappeared and all that other stuff we talked about in like episode 7 or something. I don't know. It was just like not good with the PR, you know?
Yeah.
So a lot of, you know, controversies back in the 80s, like you couldn't do fun things, you know?
No fun. Gosh, violence, Satan. No fun.
Wow. Words to live by. When I'm there this weekend, let's buy red shirts and put that on it.
Yeah, I'm sure that'd be popular.
Yeah, it would be. People would buy it.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so that is kind of why it got canceled. I don't know if the spreading themselves too thin played more of a role, or if it was like, maybe like they were losing profit because of all the controversy too. Like, I don't know. Who knows?
I'm sure they took a hit.
I wasn't born yet, so whatever. It was created by Mark Evanier. And he seemed most notably famous for Garfield and Friends. There were a lot of things listed, but he was the main like creator listed on IMDb. And okay. I didn't go down any other roads because with television series, there's like so many people. It's not always the same people doing everything. So it's just like, I'm not looking at that.
This is too much.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to go through the main cast of 6 plus this little guy down here.
Look at that little guy.
Plus the Dungeon Master. And just give a general like character overview. And a brief mentioning of the voice actor. So first we have Hank. This one.
Hank.
I have this really having a hard time remembering who is who, but I do know that
the luscious locks. I don't think I ever learned their names.
It was hard. Yeah, and following time was also kind of hard for me too. But Hank was voiced by Willie Ames with two A's, A-A-M-E-S.
Whoa.
And he had several small roles, many as recent as 2020. Most of these people were like young adults or teens when they voiced their characters. So they're, you know, middle-aged now. He was in a lot of older shows like Charles in Charge, which I did watch. The Edge of Night, which sounded really familiar and popular, edgy, but I don't know what it is. And The Swiss Family Robinson, which I also watched.
Huh, look at that.
Yeah, The Edge of Night, 28 seasons. An American television mystery crime. So it was a mystery crime soap opera.
Oh.
Yeah, it ran from... Wait. The series ran... It ran from 1956 to 1984.
Jeez.
There were 7,420 episodes. I have definitely heard of this. I guess that could have been another weird show that I watched reruns of with my sisters.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. Anyway, so that's a long time, you know.
That's a very long time.
We're getting like to there. I mean, there are still soap operas that are on that have been on for like 30 years. My grandma used to watch them. And, you know, Grey's Anatomy has like 20 seasons. Law and Order has like over 20 seasons. Like,
true. You
know, it's a modern age, baby.
They're out there.
Hell yeah. So Hank is a 15-year-old, and he is the leader of the group. He's brave and notable. Notable. That's not what I meant. Brave and noble.
It's like, who called him that? Okay.
He maintains focus and determination even when presented with grave danger, and he is a ranger. He has a magical energy bow that shoots arrows of glowing energy, and they could be used in many different ways, such as climbing tools to hurt enemies, to bind them, or to create light. I don't know if we got a bunch of this in the first three episodes, but I left some of it in there. But and since I just watched all six episodes of Hawkeye, I just imagined him being Hawkeye, basically, because Hawkeye's got all sorts of arrows.
Sure.
Also, that's a great show, and I want there to be a second season, because there's only six episodes.
It is short.
Yeah, it was really good, though. And then you have Eric, who is this one.
Dark hair.
He's voiced by Don Most.
Oh, I've heard that name before.
Yeah, he's on Happy Days. That's like his biggest thing. And then the 1980s Teen Wolf he was in. And he's still acting also. I also used to watch Happy Days. Sunday, Monday, Happy Days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Happy Days. You know?
Sure.
I don't know why.
I mean, I've never seen it.
I don't know why you didn't watch any of these shows.
I
guess it's because you're the oldest and I'm the youngest. So, and we're the same age. So.
Right.
So Eric, the Cavalier, age 15, is the spoiled child originating from a rich home. On the surface, Eric is a big-mouthed comic relief coward. Eric complains about the dire situations in which he is involved and voices concerns which would be sensible to inhabitants of our world transplanted to the realm. So he's probably all of us except Rich. Despite his cowardice and reluctance, Eric has a heroic core and frequently saves his friends from danger with his magical Griffin's shield, which can project a force field.
You can just start to see
the edges of it, but it's kind of cut off in the picture.
Yeah.
And then you have Diana. Which one's Diana? Is she this one?
I don't know.
Is that the one with the staff?
Yes.
Yeah. And Diana is voiced by Tanya Gayle Smith. And just as a fun fact, Tanya Gayle Smith is the only person for this show nominated for an award.
Whoa.
She didn't win, but she was nominated for it. And what's also interesting is that she has no picture on IMDb, and this was like her only acting credit. She's listed as an extra for a show called Facts of Life, but literally this is the only thing she did, which I just thought was interesting because everyone else has like a lot of stuff except for one other person, and this is like all she has. So Diana is a brave and outspoken 14-year-old. She's an acrobat who carries a javelin, and her javelin can shift in length from as short as a few inches to as long as 6 feet. She uses her staff as a weapon or as an aid. And if it's broken apart, apparently, she can hold the severed pieces together and they will reunite. She is skilled at handling animals and is self-assured and confident.
Look at that.
Hell yeah. Presto, our little magic boy over here, is voiced by Adam Rich. He had a lot of roles prior to this one, but not really much after, and hasn't appeared in anything since 2003.
He's off the grid.
Off the grid. Presto is a wizard, if that wasn't obvious. So he's well-meaning, diligent, but he's just a hopeless magic user, you know?
I mean, what kind of name is Presto?
He has low self-confidence. He's nervous. That's a magic name, like Presto, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I thought, like, I didn't know if that was his actual name or if that's just what they call him now that he could use magic.
Yeah. He has a magic hat that he pulls things out of. A lot of times it seems like they are useless, but every once in a while he gets what he's actually looking for. And apparently that picks up as the series goes on. So he gets better at maybe using his magical hat. Sheila, this one, is the thief. And she is voiced by Katie Leahy. Or Leahy? I don't know. This person is still active, has 131 acting credits, but not very much stuff that we've seen, except she voiced Sailor Iron Mouse in Sailor Moon.
No idea.
Only like 9 episodes. So I don't really know what it is.
Huh. All right.
But in my scroll for looking for familiar words, that was what I found. That. Apparently, this is like a mouse human, or her hair is in ears. What? Like ear shapes. Google Sailor Iron Mouse.
Oh boy. I don't know if I want this in my search history.
No, it's fine.
Oh, yeah, that's a little strange.
Yeah, so I don't really. I did watch a few episodes of Sailor Moon. I forgot I was doing that. So I don't really know. I don't really know for her, but whatever. Yeah. Bobby is the youngest member of the team. This is him. I believe he is Sheila's brother.
Makes sense.
And he is voiced by Ted Field III. Who also has no picture on IMDb. He had 2 prior acting credits. One was for 13 episodes, so kind of recurring role. And one only had 1, and then that was it. This was the last thing he did.
All right.
So Bobby is 8 when he enters the realm. The characters celebrate his birthday, apparently, in a later episode. So they must be there for a while. This is one of the things I was going to bring up, was that I don't really... It was hard for me to gauge how time was passing. I mean, I also only watched like 3 episodes, but. So.
Well, even in like the second one, they're just like, we haven't seen the Dungeon Master in days. It's like, how long has it been?
I know, right? So Bobby is apparently impulsive. He's ready to run headlong into battle. He's got that young, cocky energy, I guess, because he's 8.
Yep.
But yeah. So he is usually in harm's way ahead of his pals.
Yeah.
Then you've got Uni. Is that how they were saying it?
Yeah.
Uni the Unicorn. Now this person, this character, their vocal effects are provided by Frank Welker, who is a very well-known voice actor, and he has 891 acting credits.
Wow.
Yeah, and there was just like too many. Like I scrolled like all the way down to the bottom of the list trying to figure out like what we, you know, would recognize, but there was just like so much stuff. And I think his like first voice acting credit, or at least acting credit, was like 1969 or something.
Jeez.
He's been in Transformers, Mortal Kombat, Curious George, newer Scooby-Doo. Nice. Like there's just so much stuff. I was like overwhelmed trying to scroll through. I mean, like
too much to handle.
Garfield. Yeah, there's just so much. It seems like he voices Fred Jones a lot in Scooby-Doo.
Fred.
Is he in all of the Scooby-Doos? Maybe he's like the original Fred character. because he has there's 180 mentionings of the name Fred Jones.
Fred Jones.
I am. It seems like maybe he is, but he has so many acting credits that it's like hard to scroll through all of them.
Yeah.
Huh.
Damn.
Who knew?
Who did?
Also, that's cool. I didn't know it did that. Yeah, Scooby-Doo, where are you? There's only 25 episodes of the original Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
And then there was, and then there was the new Scooby-Doo movies that had 25 episodes. Scooby-Doo first aired in 1969.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense if he's been voice acting since 69 then.
That's true. Anyways, I didn't mean to take a Scooby-Doo deep dive, but I didn't notice, did not notice that earlier.
Yeah.
But Uni is Bobby's pet, a baby unicorn, which Bobby discovers in the intro, and he becomes his companion, or she becomes his companion. She has the ability to speak, though her words are not quite discernible, and she's usually heard echoing Bobby when she agrees to his opinions. Yeah.
Something like that.
That's my horse. Wow. That's my horse sound.
I don't know if you like spiked your mic, but I got like the whistle at the end and then the very
It probably cut out that, but it's fine. I might have to just cut it out because it might sound weird in the recording. And then our final main character is the Dungeon Master, who is voiced by Sidney Miller. Sidney Miller was born in 1916. And is no longer with us, obviously.
Oh, I was gonna ask what they were doing today.
Yeah. And he had 152 acting credits, but most of them were in like the 40s to 60s. And then most of his like older aged things were like directing. But he is the Dungeon Master, which questionable here, is the group's friend and mentor. He provides important advice and help, but often in a cryptic way that does not make sense until the team has completed the quest of each episode. It is the Dungeon Master who supplies the companions with their weapons and clues for their numerous opportunities to return home.
True.
Yeah. My wound is starting to get sore, like dry. Ah. I keep having to moisten it.
Yeah.
No, JK.
I don't know if you should do that.
You know, I just want you to know that because of last week's 2-caffeinated debacle, I did not make a third coffee today.
It's probably a wise decision.
Yeah. I was going to wait to make one until we recorded, but I decided to drink it at like 2 instead. But I made a brown sugar shaken espresso. Also, I keep hitting my fist on the computer, which is probably going to be really annoying in the audio.
Oops.
Yeah. But brown sugar shaken espresso. Hell yeah.
Sounds like quite a
thing. When's the next time you're coming here?
Probably the weekend after this one.
That soon.
Well, I want to, my mom wanted us to come home one time before my surgery, and that's probably the last time I have available. Oh.
Does she need you to like celebrate with your arms?
I don't know, but she might have that pergola. Maybe we'll build it. I don't know.
Sidebar. What day is your surgery?
11th.
Oh, I was close because your mom apparently couldn't remember the other day. And I was like, I think it's maybe like the 12th or something. And then she was like, I don't want to ask him because I've asked him too many times already.
It's not like I expect her to remember.
Yeah, I was pretty close though, so I feel good about that. But
yeah.
Anyways, so that's all the precursor stuff. There is a reoccurring villain and stuff. I didn't really get his character information because we only got like a glimpse into everything. But like I said, we watched the first 3 episodes. I don't have like long episode descriptions or summaries because all of them were short and I didn't feel like typing out my own.
Yeah.
But episode 1 is titled The Night of No Tomorrow. And in true 80s fashion, I feel like, which again, I felt like really reminded me of like watching Scooby-Doo, obviously reruns because like I'm not that old. But it starts out like this is the opening scene of like every episode too. Is this?
Yeah.
Which is weird. But it starts out with them at like an amusement park and they're like, oh, look, a Dungeons and Dragons ride. and wow. they're so excited, and they run over to it, and they hop in. It's like a two-seater car. It's kind of like the log ride that gets you wet at Silverwood, yeah. but it's like a two-seater car.
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
You just said it gets you wet, and I'm just like, okay.
Wow, Scott. I thought we're 31 here. Come on.
Yeah, so?
True. Anyways, so it's kind of like a roller coaster, but it's not like an actual roller coaster, but it's like, you know, whatever. And they go into like a cave. It kind of becomes like psychedelic looking. There's like a Tiamat dragon like spewing fire, but then like the screen is kind of flooded with like twisting and morphing and turning like D&D yeah. monsters. And they go off the rails. And then they apparently land in what is referred to as the realm of Dungeons and Dragons. And this is where I started to get a little bit confused about the passing of time. Like, very quickly, I was like, what? So they, all of a sudden, the Dungeon Master just appears, I think. He just appears. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's, like, tossing them all, like, a magical item. And I don't know if that changed their outfits or if their outfits were changed when it spit them out.
Good question.
Yeah, I couldn't remember in what order it happened. But essentially, each of them gets a magic item they don't have on their regular 20th century attire anymore.
Right.
Yeah. And then this like very instantly like cuts into action. Like the Tiamat dragon from the ride is there and they have to like get away from it.
So before you go on, like yeah. this intro that you just described, it is literally like 40 seconds long. It's yeah. so quick and you're like, what's happening? Wait, what? And then that's the intro to the show. So they're like, we're not going to explain anything. Here you go. It's like, yeah. what? I don't understand.
I think that's the time I like rewatch it again too.
Yeah.
And then it's like they defeated that and they were like, their whole point is that they want to get home.
Right.
And the Dungeon Master is kind of being like a bad guy because he's like leading them on all these quests. Like you would if you were a Dungeon Master. But in the context of the story, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But then like I swear like after the dragon they like cuts to the Dungeon Master again and they're like, oh, we haven't seen you in like forever. And I'm like, it has it not been like 20 minutes? Like
yeah,
wait. It was it's the passing of time was really confusing. And I mean the passing of time can be really confusing when you're playing D&D. So like I get that. And obviously yeah. this like people liked this show, so it's not like I mean, it is just a cartoon. I'm sure if I rewatched like Scooby-Doo, there's probably weird passages of time too. Because yeah, I know that there's, because like they were always like driving places. It's not like it showed you like the whole, oh, let's sit in the mystery machine for like 4 hours, you know?
Right. Let's travel to the next location, guys.
Yeah. But anyways, so it was kind of elusive to me, I guess, like the timeline. But so they are seeking out and finding Merlin. And he teaches Presto some magic. Or he says he'll teach Presto magic if he stays with him. So he stays, but he kind of stayed for like an alternative reason than Merlin thought. And I don't think his friends really knew that either. He was basically...
They thought it was just because they were bullying.
Yeah. Yeah, and they like felt bad. But he... In his attempt to create a way home, he summons dragons that attack a nearby village. So he basically undid the magic because they do this like history of Merlin where he's like,
yeah.
oh, I cast a spell and rid the world of evil. And then presto, in like 5 minutes or probably 8 hours or 2 days, who knows, just completely like reverses that spell and brings all of those things back.
Right.
Yeah. What were your initial thoughts as you watched episode one?
So as I watched it, I mean, there was a little bit of confusion. Is it all in the first episode that you learned that it's not Merlin?
That,
or is that the second?
I think that's maybe the second episode because they're like, oh, we talked, like, because they're talking to someone else. I'm not sure.
I can't remember, but. Yeah, I mean, it was, It's like, a product of its time.
Was that supposed to basically be like Merlin's ghost? And is
that was the bad guy.
Oh, right. Wow. I was disguising himself as Merlin. Overthinking that part, the Merlin part, and I didn't make that connection. But then, how many times do they fall for that?
Over and over again. I mean, but that's what he did, is he switched out the spells in the spell book. So he thought he was making a way home. And he's made you summon dragons, you dumb bitch.
Yeah. Like I said,
the whole time, all I could think about was Scooby-Doo. And I mean, look, I mean, what the heck is his name is Fred. Mm-hmm. The red-haired girl, it has purple and green on, is mm-hmm. Daphne. I mean, Presto looks like Shaggy. He doesn't really act like him.
Yeah,
but,
animal. Like,
yeah, and they have an animal that talks like...
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was what went in my mind.
yeah. Well, I thought I paid better attention.
I think... I pulled a Kendra, and I feel like I did. It was really hard for me to pay attention to this.
Like, I even watched it twice. I mean, yesterday, obviously, wasn't having a good day, but I've also been high a lot, so maybe, I don't know. But when I was rewatching it today, I was also making my notes, so I might have, the parts I paid attention to, I probably paid attention to better, but I probably still missed, you know, like, some of the stuff.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much all that happens in episode one. They're like, they're trying to go somewhere. And then they see a sign that says like to Merlin's house or castle.
Yeah,
and then
castle.
In like 20 feet, they see a sign pointing the other direction. And they're really confused because they're in like the middle of a desert and there's no castle. And then one of the girls is like, did you look up there? And then there's just like a castle floating in the clouds.
What can you do? And there's a golden light ladder that they climb up randomly.
Mm-hmm. It happens to drop down as soon as they say, we need someone to get us up there.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Episode 2, Eye of the Beholder. This one has a very vague description. The group encounters Sir John, a seemingly fearless knight, but he's really a coward. His village is ready to exile him unless he performs one brave deed. His son is captured and he is told to lead the group, or he tells him Venger captures Sir John's son and tells him to lead the group into a trap. Wow, that was hard.
So all of that last episode, yeah, it did. And they found out Venger was the bad guy disguised as Merlin. Mm-hmm. And then they were able to reverse the effects of the dragons. Mm-hmm. Long story short.
What was the trap?
So now we're into this.
They let him into a trap?
Well, you're getting to that.
Oh, in the next episode, right?
Yeah.
All right. So in episode 3, they are traveling to the Hall of Bones. And while they're looking for it, they...
Okay, I thought you had more on episode 2. He leads them to like a trap for the beholder, and then they have to like fight it.
Oh. Well, there's a trap in episode 3 also.
Well, yeah, there's gonna be a trap in most episodes, I feel like.
I feel like I'm doing a bad job of summarizing these, and I watched them twice, so...
your summary of episode 2 was like one sentence.
Well, that's the summary from online.
Well, no, that, yeah.
Yeah.
I
literally tried to find, like, better summaries, and there were none.
Yeah. Well, basically, there's a clumsy knight, cowardly knight. They run into him and think he's brave because he accidentally scares a monster away that's chasing them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes back to the city, and the city basically tells him, you're our knight. We're the city, and you're like a cowardly piece of shit. If you don't get your act together, you're out of here, man. And then he goes to help the group go fight the beholder because he's like, ooh, that's heroic.
Mm-hmm.
And then Venger takes his kid and he's like, okay, now you got to pretend that you're helping them, but lead them into the trap. And then they, shenanigans ensue, and they're able to still defeat it. And he saves his son. The end.
That was way better than the internet.
Should hire me to write reviews.
Okay, so in episode 3, the Hall of Bones. So the group is finding that their mystic and magical weapons and items are starting to fail them, which based on the research I did, also seems like that's kind of a common theme where they're like constantly trying to, you know, like recharge or like it seemed like this occurred multiple times, is what I'm trying to say. So Dungeon Master,
the whole show,
yeah,
or
at least a couple times because I feel like I saw it mentioned more than once. But Dungeon Master tells them that they need to be recharged in the Hall of Bones. So in this instance, it's kind of Dungeon Master. I think it's almost sending them into a trap. But they need to find a guide to the Hall of Bones. I don't know why. I guess because it's a quest. Their quest is to find a guide.
Yeah, and they don't know how to get there.
Yeah. So they're like walking on this trail and then they find this little gnome guy. Which also like the Dungeon Master is a gnome, which is also weird. We'll talk about that in a minute. But anyway, so they find this little gnome guy and he's like, oh yeah, I know how to get there. And he like, he's always like walking ahead of them also, which I thought was weird because he's like 2 feet tall.
He's speedy. He was like, we're getting there fast, bitch.
Yeah. But once they get into the hall, well, and first they're like, oh, like, what do you charge? And he's like, your company, or it will do for now. And then Eric
your
is like,
your company is payment enough.
Yeah, Eric is
okay,
like,
okay, weirdo.
Yeah, Eric, I remember there's a specific line with Eric where he's like, I like the way you think or something like that. He's like, this is great.
Oh, he's like, I like your pricing.
Yeah. and so they like troop off, I don't know, but they follow him.
Troop off.
Okay. Yeah.
That's like screwing off. Go troop off.
Buddy. I'm going to make that a new thing. You know how people are like, go off. You know, I'm going to be like, troop off, you know?
And they'll be like, is that good?
Yeah. Hell yeah. It is.
Oh, okay.
If people question you, give them a hell yeah. But once in the hall, their little buddy, and I don't remember if he gives them a name or not, tells him that he'll collect his payment and then proceeds to turn into Venger.
Oh my God, it's him again.
Yeah.
Shit.
Was there anything else notable that happens in that one?
Well, after he reveals himself, then like all the things happen. Then they recharge their weapons successfully.
Mm-hmm.
They get into the skull thing that recharges it and they teleport out. And all of the souls of the old adventurers rise up to fight against Venger to let them escape. But then
how did I
the
miss
Hall
all
of Bones
this?
Is destroyed. I don't know.
I watched it twice.
I feel like I did not pay attention to it, but I guess you're making me look like I did.
Yeah, I don't know. I literally watched it twice. And I just finished it like an hour before we started.
I just watched it.
Anyways, and I almost watched episode 4, but I guess it's good that I didn't since I probably need to rewatch the first 3 episodes.
Well, you might not need to know what happened in the earlier ones.
True. So what were your overall thoughts after watching 3 eps?
I mean, it's kind of like your normal 80s show, I guess. You know, mm-hmm. It's not super captivating. You kind of already know the formula. You know what Scooby-Doo is. You know what, I mean, He-Man is. You kind of know what this is going to be. So, I mean, it didn't surpass my expectations. It didn't go below them. It is better than the Dungeons & Dragons movie. So,
imagine you were born 15, 20 years before you were born. Probably not 20 years because that would be a 20-year-old, but. Do you feel like you would have watched it?
Probably, because I mean, if you think about the other shows that were on at that time, it was probably very comparable.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it had good. I mean, and the voice acting was not the best, but I think that's just an 80s cartoon thing, you know. It's kind of hard to put all that feeling into that when you're just recording randomly. But
yeah. And I feel like it was kind of like less of a intense like thing voice acting was, you know.
Yeah, you just kind of said your lines and you might not necessarily know the context of the line you're saying, so you don't have the right inflections. But I thought it would be really hilarious when you were telling me that the guy wrote the final script that never came out. What if like the whole time they're just like on an acid trip and then they come out of it and they're like, whoa, that was cool.
Could have been, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it still could be.
It still could be. So there were some kind of notable differences, obviously, between this show and the RPG itself. These are really big, so I'm going to try to just summarize them and not read through the whole thing. Okay. The first one is obviously the role of the Dungeon Master, who appears as a gnome-like character who physically interacts with the characters as a mentor, kind of having wizardly or godlike powers, which means that he could have himself been hurt or threatened, which is obviously very different than in D&D, because the DM does not have a physical manifestation like within the world. So that was like the biggest difference, I guess. But it does say that a lot of the references are like jokes and tropes that a DM would have.
Yeah.
And there's some weird stuff that kind of giveaways things that happens in the end. So apparently Venger is his son.
Is the gnome son?
The dungeon master's son, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. So also, most D&D games have characters whose origins are in the world they exist in, rather than these being transported from Earth. Although I will say there is a D&D podcast. I actually started to listen to it in like 2019 and then stopped. It's called Dungeons and Daddies. And actually in that podcast, it's a bunch of like dads and their sons, and they're like transported into like the Forgotten Realms. Like they have a minivan because like they drive through like a black hole, and it just like transports them. And I listened to several episodes. So they're trying to like figure out the world they're in, kind of in a similar way. I wonder if it was like inspired by this or something. So yeah. So it says that I feel like these are harsh criticisms and differences, because
what did you think about the show before you get into some of that, I guess?
I mean, I thought it was all right. Obviously, I've been having a hard time paying attention to it, so I might need to rewatch it before I give an opinion.
It's not the most captivating thing ever.
Yeah, and I mean, also, like, I guess I'm so, like, I feel like it's hard because I feel like I would have thought this was really good when I was little, but TV has, like, changed so much in, like, 40 years that it's not, like, you don't really make shows like this anymore. So I feel like our brains have become, like, adapted to, like, more intense things.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, higher quality, a little more intense, I guess.
I mean, I thought it was pretty good. Like, I liked how they were playing into like tropes of D&D, like with Tiamat and like each character like clearly had like a class that they were and stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, I kind of want to finish watching it, so I mean, obviously I liked it enough.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyways, so it says that the cartoon characters are like D&D reflections of ordinary humans who rode the dark ride at the start of the series. So they're still like their real world personality rather than like, this is like thinking way too hard about it. Because like the premise is that they're transported into the world. But this is like
the same people.
But they're saying that this is like a difference because they are the same people. Which, I mean, it would be hard to have a show if you just were on a ride and you ended up in another world and you were a different person. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it wouldn't make any sense. It's kind of also like the DM thing. It's like, how are they going to explain it away without someone there to tell them?
So it does say that there are several appearances of creatures true to the game, such as purple worms, and that they're usually like accurately depicted. And clearly, like, drawing inspiration from art within the monster manual. But sometimes the monsters differed from their game description. So the beholder, for instance, has different powers for each eye traditionally. But in the show, it used generic energy blasts and force tentacles. So it had, like, less, you know,
yeah,
magic. It says that the U.S. Complete Series DVD release was packaged inside, has packaged, included a 30-page hardcover mini book entitled Dungeons & Dragons Animated Series Handbook, which was prepared by, I guess this DVD pack must have come out in the 2000s because it says Wizards of the Coast, but as an adaptation of the animated series to D&D 3.5 paper and pen rules, the handbook includes an adventure beneath the Blade of Sword Mountain that serves as a prequel to the animated series episode The Dragon's Graveyard. The book also outlines the D&D statistics of the main characters of the animated series, along with Venger and Shadow Demon, and rules for their items of power, although the adaptations do not include exact power conversions from the series. So Hank's energy bow, for example, can fire energy arrows, but there's no mention of that being converted into the booklet.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Energy legs.
So that's kind of neat that they made, like, you know, they made a like a quest based on the show, basically. So
hardcore.
And then, obviously, Presto getting his magic from a hat is not traditionally a source of a wizard's spell power in the game. And that was just kind of a blending together of the ways magic and wizards were portrayed in other media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Because he kind of just, like, says a rhyme and, like, pulls something out of his hat.
Bam.
Yeah. Yeah, so they said that it was more akin to something like a deck of many things, which is like a deck where you just draw a card and whatever happens is like what you get. You can get like a knight card and then you have like a knight that follows you around, or you could like die, or you could get like the wish spell.
Or you could die.
Yeah, it is pretty intense, the deck of many things.
Or it could murder you.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Let's see, is there anything else in here? Yeah, so those are kind of like the comparisons and whatnot to the real game.
Look at that.
Yeah. So on IMDb, do you know what it was rated? Or do you have a guess?
So IMDb wasn't around. When did IMDb?
Well, yeah, but people still go back and rate things.
I'm gonna say they gave it a 6.
It is rated an 8 out of a 10.
Wow, that's actually impressive.
And there are 5,100 ratings.
Wow. All that nostalgia hits hard, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, IMDb's been around for, like, a while because there were, like, reviews and stuff from, like, before 2005, I think, so.
Mm-hmm. It seems like it was, like, close to 2000, but I don't know.
It says that IMDb was created in 1990.
Oh. Hmm. Interesting.
In 1998, IMDb was among Amazon's first acquisitions. Cole Needham, who founded the site in 1990 as an extension of a personal project, was excited to join forces.
All right, so it's been around a while.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Apparently it started because in 1981 he got a notebook and wrote down the movies he saw each day because he wanted to remember them.
Oh, okay. Well, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So it's been around for a long time. Anyways, I don't think you could leave ratings and reviews probably until like the 2000s, but who knows?
Yeah.
So there weren't a lot of actual reviews. There was just mostly ratings. And it was like the demographic on like that chart where you just like the breakdown. The like 45 plus age group was like, was like 9.1, 9.3. Like it was like very high. Right. So there weren't a lot of reviews. So there was no low reviews, which kind of made me sad. There were no reviews written that were lower than 7 stars.
Okay.
But there just in general weren't very many. Like I think there was like 6 9-star stars, and then like a little bit more 10 stars. But this 9-star review refers to it as a forgotten treasure. Dungeons and Dragons ranks as one of the best cartoons ever. It makes me glad I grew up when I did, as there were so many fantastic shows, fantastic animation, great stories, plenty of adventure, and some phenomenal vocal acting from all cast members. I can remember being miffed as a youngster to discover the show never had a concluding episode, and was surprised to learn it only spanned three series. I would have thought it had a huge following, so many wonderful characters and great episodes. And this is, this person also says that Dragon's Graveyard is the best episode. So that must be like, that must be it.
Dragon's Graveyard.
Yeah. And apparently this person in their 30s in 2018, who doesn't usually watch animation, was greatly enjoying rewatching the show.
All right.
Yeah. Then we got another one real quick. These are all pretty short. So 10 out of 10, unironically awesome. Okay, maybe a little ironically, but wow, what a great watch. The terrible 80s kids dialogue is frankly completely hilarious, but the themes are consistent throughout the episodes. The plots from episode to episode are genuinely interesting and fun, plus the characters are actually fun to watch. I did not expect to enjoy this show, but wow, it is free on YouTube, so if you have 20 minutes to spare, I say do it. I grew up playing Pathfinder and play 5e now, so coming from someone who isn't familiar with AD&D or grew up while this show was running, who only started watching for the memes, I can say, yeah, it's really hammy, but also absolute capital G-O-L-D.
Wow, that's gold.
Oh, hell yeah. One more 10 out of 10, because people were really ranting and raving for this show.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to watch this show. So I was bored with modern cartoons and decided to check out 80 shows. I'm kind of interested in D&D, so when I found out that there was a cartoon which loosely based on D&D, I immediately searched on YouTube. Was I disappointed? No. Is this cartoon almost genius? Yes. When I watched the first episode, I wasn't really impressed, but after the first season, I understood that I can't live without this cartoon anymore. Can't live without this cartoon anymore. Jokes in this cartoon are really funny, and I love all the movie references. All there's some wrong words in here, but though characters are pretty cliche, but they are charming and have character development throughout the series. Every episode gives me emotions. Somebody thinks that the third season is the worst, but I don't think so. The whole plot of the third season leads to the last episode, which was never officially produced. Good for us. We have the internet where we can find the script of Requiem or fan-made videos. I've watched Requiem, and this cartoon really deserves that type of ending. I'm not a fan of open endings, but for this cartoon, it was the best way to end. I think it's going to be one of my favorite cartoons of all time. Totally must watch.
Must watch, bro.
Yeah. So I'm committed now. I want to watch all of it.
Oh, snap.
I was going to say, though, the thing that I dislike the most is that it's hard to tell how much time is passing. And like that thing I was reading for like Bobby or whatever did make it sound like he's like 10 in the third season. So they're obviously in there for like years. And that makes me wonder like how time is passing in the real world. Because like in D&D, when you travel to different planes, there's always some sort of like effect. And it's usually it's like a dice roll. So like when you go into the Feywild, you roll dice to see how you're, how, because sometimes it'll be like you're there for like 1 hour, but that was like one day in your plane of existence.
Right.
So I wonder like, you know, if they were trying to go for it being the same thing or like if it was going to be different.
They'll get back and they'll pull like a Digimon thing and be like, you've been gone. They've just been on the ride the whole time. You've been gone for 10 seconds.
Yeah. Well, I did make a quiz while we were talking at the beginning of the ep.
Oh, shit.
They might be kind of, some of them might be kind of harder than usual. So we'll see what happens.
How dare you?
What years did it run?
83 to 85.
All right. What is the name of the script for the last episode?
Requiem?
Yep. How many episodes in each season? 27 total.
27 total? Well, there was 6, then 8, so it must have been 13 in the first one.
Yep. Man, I thought this was going to be hard. what is the name of the second episode?
Oh, it's the Eye of the Beholder.
What is the overall IMDb rating?
It was 8.
Yeah.
Out of 10.
I thought you were going to miss at least one of those.
Boom, I'm a pro.
I am disappointed.
What, you're trying to stop me?
Yeah.
I'm going to get you.
I thought they were hard.
I mean, those were definitely, I'm starting to get like the rhythm of like, even though I had no idea you were gonna ask me an episode name, that I just got lucky to remember. Because yeah. That was oof.
Well, yeah. Do you have anything else to talk about?
I don't think so. If Jackie ends up listening to this, we did get her message.
Yeah.
So I don't know what episode we'll do it, but we will do at least a One Piece episode coming up.
Yeah.
That's their newest obsession.
Why are you so obsessed with me?
Yeah. That's like all of One Piece characters singing to Dakota and Jackie.
Mm-hmm. 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 That guy with the weird arms.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's all I know.
I mean, that's pretty much, yeah. Weird
he
arms.
Kind of looks like he could be on Wild Thornberries.
Yeah, I guess so. Kind of like an island.
He reminds me of the little kid, but as an adult.
The
baby. Yeah.
The wild child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. Do you want to plug anything?
I don't think I got anything new to plug. Nope, I've only been working, so I haven't discovered anything new to share with the folks yet. Sorry.
How dare you? Yeah. I'm going to plug my dice shop.
Yeah.
www.brokenbowdiceshop.com/shop. They're all on sale. And I still have a lot of Pride dice, and I just have a lot of dice in there still. It's made me not make any more, so I'm wasting away my summer break that I was going to use to be productive.
Buy them, dang it.
Yeah. But like usual, I will also plug us shoving some coffee in your mouth. Well, whatever. Right. You can send us an email like Jackie does to 5FIVEMoreMinutesPod@gmail.com. You can like and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Download the episodes. Leave us a rating and a review. Please do that. It is very important. So is downloading. Share us with your friends and family, your friends who are your family, and your family who's more like friends and family. And check out all of our social medias at 5 MMPOD, where we post the things from each episode that I think are funny.
Yeah, and we got random blogs on the website.
Yeah, bit.ly/5mmpod, because we don't want to pay for a domain yet.
Yeah, until someone gifts us a lot of money.
Yeah, more than the $1.90 that we've made.
Holy cow, that's more than last time.
But anyways, make good choices.
Yeah, we clocking out.
Bye.
Bye.